inside the virtual hardwood. It's the MLSC podcast, episode number 404. Andrew with you once again. I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew NLSC on Twitter. My co-host is Derek. You know him in the forum as Diva3 and Diva384 on Twitter.
I'm happy to be here again. The NBA Live 10 tournament rolls on, and you and I played game three of our semifinal matchup. It was win or go home for you, and I actually thought it was a great game, and you fought hard, especially in the fourth quarter, and you almost battled back and took the game. But I'm just really glad that we played that game, and it was a lot of fun.
I was proud of that effort because you were just on fire in the third. The Nuggets that you're using have a bit more firepower than the Bulls. So I got down big in the third quarter, but I was determined to at least make a game of it. And of course, I wanted to win. I wanted to try and battle back a win, but it was an uphill battle. But yeah, that was one of the most exciting games we've played. I got on a bit of a roll, made some decent plays, but that dagger three by J.R. Smith just pretty much sealed your win, prevented my comeback from coming to fruition.
I personally think that you still had a decent team. I think you overplayed Brad Miller. That's what I think. I think to match up with my lineup, I think it would have been better to have Tyrus Thomas out there for his length. And he's been pummeling me going into the rim for dunks and whatnot. So I was looking at your lineup and I just feel like Brad Miller played a little bit too much. And I don't think you used John Sammons or Deng enough against me. Deng was pretty much a no-show other than a couple like fast break plays and whatnot. But I thought that part of the reason why that game was so fun was because I hosted, and you were having a conflict between Parsec and the emulator, and we were getting freezes when you and I were playing, and the quality wasn't as good. But you know, when I hosted, it was a clean connection, and you were even timing shots and whatnot, and I could tell it was working really good for you. And I felt like overall it was a clean, fun game, and it made me want to play it more. Like, it made me want to jump back into NBA Live 10 with you and, you know, maybe do some more fantasy team matchups.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, Live 10 has been such a go-to for us this year. It's now a reliable go-to that even if it's not our main retro gaming kick or whatever, we can always go back to it. We've got, I think, at least another 60 retro teams that I've figured out we could put together in that game.
You have a big list that I remember you sharing it with me. It's a really good list.
And there's about 40 of them where we've got accurate art assets as well, because some of them you can put together, but they're using the wrong jerseys, and the effect is still there. It's still fun. But as far as teams that we can actually make and actually have them look as they're supposed to on the court with the right branding and make a better video out of it, for example, probably at least 40 teams that we can make that are era appropriate across the board. Missing a player here or there, but still really fun to use. So I'd love to get back into that. But you're right, I did go away from Tyrus Thomas. I went away from Sammons. Sammons kind of was hit and miss for me throughout the tournament, so I didn't trust him. I brought on Heinrich, which I did feel was a great move in that respect.
Heinrich played great. Heinrich actually helped lead you back into the game with some of those threes that he was hitting and whatnot.
He did. I wasn't using him as much because I was leaving it up to the auto subs, which... And I was talking to you about it after the game, and I brought it up, that playing my career for so many years has really conditioned me to go with the flow more than I should, especially when I get back into modes like Franchise or Play Now or the Parsec sessions with you. I rely very heavily on the CPU doing things, automatic substitutions, the lineup that I'm given, because in my career, you just focus on your avatar and play with what you've got, but you actually... obviously have all this control in those other modes. So I'm forgetting that I can do that now that I've gone back after so many years of being conditioned by my career gameplay. So sometimes I forget to really make adjustments to my lineups. I'm just playing with what I've got, and that is a hangover, obviously, from years of playing my career. So I'm really getting back into the swing of playing those other modes.
Yeah, I think... one thing that I really enjoy, though, when actually I play against you is the fact that you keep fighting. And somebody on the YouTube video actually made that comment. He said something along the lines of, you know, way to not give up in the fourth.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate playing against people like that. Both of my brothers are like that. They just don't give up until the end. And they, they'll fight when they're down, and it doesn't matter how big the deficit is, they're going to just keep playing. And I do enjoy that about playing against you, because you could have folded when I went down, when you went down by 16 to start the fourth, and you actually got it within five and had me sweating a little bit. And then I ended up hitting, like you said, I hit that J.R. Smith three, and I had that Kenyon Martin dunk put back. But it was just a really good game. And again, I keep singing the praises of Parsec, but again, that felt like a local game overall. Between how it looked on your end and how it was playing for both of us, and we both put together a lot of good highlights. And I might need to do a montage and throw that into the next top 10, because we had some really good dunks and really good sequences in that game.
They really were, and the fact we both got alley-oops that worked, which in Live 10, like Live 06 for example, it is very easy to throw alley-oops. Both the current gen and the Xbox 360 version we've been playing as of late, they're almost automatic, most of those. Most alley-oops, as long as you're in pretty much the right angle, you can throw them from almost anywhere. And we had a great alley-oop from Live 08, actually, in the top 10 as well, I recall. But Live 10, as we've mentioned, does have that issue with alley-oops going in slow motion, going backwards, going to the mid-range, going not to the person stationed right there in the low block, ready to get that alley-oop, but to somebody on the perimeter for no reason whatsoever. That was never really fixed with the patches. In fact, the second patch made it even worse, if anything. So the fact that we both got a couple of really nice alley-oops in that game was very satisfying, as was Tyrus Thomas's driving dunk there as well. He had a couple, and again, yes, I probably did. Not, I probably didn't use him as much as I should, but some great highlights. We've had closer games at the end and some more epic finishes with game winners and whatnot, and boy, were there some great game winners in the top 10 this week, which I'm sure we'll get to momentarily. But I think that was one of our best games, just for that battling back, and that was always my philosophy in online games as well, which is why it sucks so much when you have people quitting, as I've said before, after you get down 8 points early in Pro-Am, or the rec, rather. We can battle back from that, so it's so much more satisfying when you do that and not fall, because you do get on that run like I did, and you can have that satisfying, at least I tried and made a very good effort of it, and like you said, made you sweat a bit.
One of my favorite games that we played actually was the video game Legends teams. It was the video game Legends matchup when I hit the game winner with Tashin to beat.
Oh
That was
yes.
such a close game and such a great back and forth. And Troy Murphy had such a good game in that one. And that's one of my favorite games that we played. And no, with alley-oops with NBA Live 10, I think we've just adjusted. As we understand that the person that's going toward the player that's going towards the hoop needs to be very close to the hoop in order for it to work when you throw it. You can't do it like you do on 2K and other games where the player is, 13 feet out away from the hoop and you throw it and then the player just gets dragged to the ball. So, mine was completed to Kenyon Martin and yours was completed, I want to say, to Joakim Noah.
Yes.
And I thought those were very good sequences. And yeah, the reason I was saying that about Tyrus Thomas is you really could have used his speed to compete with Kenyon Martin, because if you looked at those highlights again, I was destroying Brad Miller up the floor with Kenyon Martin. Like if there wasn't a loose ball or Kenyon Martin was moving up the floor in general alongside Brad Miller, he would just smoke him up the floor. So I'm sure that there's speed ratings. The advantage there's a speed rating advantage for Kenyon Martin by quite a bit. But no, I and then that's the other thing too, is you beat me. We you hosted and we played a game of NBA Live 97, and I'm really glad you put that game on because that was fun. I was able to use rookie Kobe and we put him in early for me and whatnot, and I calibrated the controller correctly, and you could tell I was moving pretty good
You were.
in that game overall. Had a little bit of lag, but not enough to destroy the experience. And I was actually, I think I was up by two at halftime of that game. And then you pulled away late in the fourth quarter, and I think won by 10. But yeah, I like the way our games are, the way our games go, because we play till the final buzzer, and there's no sore sportsmanship or anything like that. So yeah, that was also an enjoyable game, and that game has really good presentation as well, but not compared to NBA Live 96. Live 96 presentation on PC beats Live 97 by a wide margin, in my opinion.
we covered Live 96 PC's presentation last week, of course. Big fan of that game, big fan of the presentation, as we gushed about it last week, as I gushed about it to you as we were playing. Live 97 PC, though, and it's very similar to the PlayStation version as well. I think PlayStation uses a very similar menu system, it's just not as high res for a game that comes out of 96 anyway. It's a very different style. It's that 96 PC has that classical, and it's got the jazzy soundtrack, as I said, and it's got all the gold, all the gilded text and whatnot. And then 97 comes along, and there's very few capitals, all lowercase writing, or mostly lowercase text.
Yeah, on the scoreboard, the LA Lakers looks like it was all lowercase, like LA, lowercase, Lakers,
yep.
Lowercase. It looked very, I'm trying to not use a word like childish. It looked very, I don't know, almost like they were trying too hard.
It's that late 90s aesthetic, or that mid to late 90s aesthetic, where they're really embracing that whole radical collages everywhere. It looks like it's a magazine cutout. The pictures, the photos of the players in the background, of that collage, like you've been snipped out of a magazine. The chalk text and the chalk outlines and everything. I'm a big fan of it, but it is definitely a product of its time.
Oh, I love that. I love the presentation. I just don't think it competes with Live 96 or Live 98, for that matter. Live 98 is incredibly strong presentation-wise. With a lot of nostalgia related to the PC version of NBA Live 98 for both me and my brother. But yeah, you know, it was nice to get, again, you know, get on Parsec with you. I also got on Parsec and played against King J Mace. We used his NBA 2K22 Street Ball Legends mod, which is actually very good. And I just talked to him recently. He stated that he's going to be releasing that on the NLSC and putting a, you know, install tutorial video up on, you know, telling people how to install the mod and everything. And he's actually calling it the ESL, which I think is like Elite Street League. And he's doing a My League using the mod, and people he's using Parsec to connect with people. So basically what's happening is he's playing a My League, he's hosting it, and people can connect to his PC and they can play in the My League with using that mod. I saw him, I jumped into one of his streams actually just to see how it was working on Parsec, and he was playing this guy named, he kept calling him Mac, so his name must be Mac, and they were playing like they were playing local head to head. You could tell it was incredibly reactive for Mac, and he was, you know, pulling off these ridiculous moves and going in and jamming it over people and whatnot, and I just thought it was really cool that you could do that, and that, you know, it's working so well for them.
You can see how Parsec is just taking off in the community. I think people have been very inspired to do it, and you and I have looked to connect with other people. Shout out to Kid Cash has reached out to me about playing some Live 96 PC, so hopefully can connect with him at some point to do that, work out a time to do so, because again, that's a great game. I've got those roster mods to play with. The 2001 roster mod, I'd love to play with you with that one. Love to show off that one a little bit. We also used it to connect on NBA Live 16 on your Xbox One.
Yeah, not as smooth of an experience. I think I needed to restart the console because it had just went through that update. I think co-op is really tough on that game, especially when, and we've talked about this before, when there's a little bit of lag on your end. We ended up losing by one to the computer, which I thought was still a pretty good performance for our first time ever playing together on that game. And we didn't lock either, but we lost by one and there was 10 seconds left and they had the ball and both of us couldn't figure out the intentional foul button. And so we're swiping at the ball handler over and over and over and over again to try to initiate a foul. And it didn't happen. And then the time ran out. But I still think that, you know, given the circumstances, you know, to only lose by one and the first time we've ever played that together, I thought we did pretty well.
It was. It worked out, I think, better than some of our other attempts at playing those games or Steam games over Parsec, you and I connecting with that. Yeah, that was so frustrating because any other time, if you're mashing the steal button, you're getting a reach-in foul. But somehow, it was just letting us get away with hacking at the ball handler that way. And I could have sworn that 16, because I know that a lot of live games and 2K, that if you do mash the steal button, it's a shortcut to intentional foul. So that's why you and I were both doing it. But even if it wasn't, one of us should have got the foul because we're all over him, hacking away with mashing the steal button. So again, any other time, it would have given us the foul. But when we want the foul, nothing.
Yeah, I will say this. That game does have its moments. Like the Taj Gibson tip dunk, that was completely like Taj Gibson.
Yeah.
Like you could picture him doing that. That looked great. You know, we had a couple threes with Jimmy Butler and whatnot, and a couple pull-ups with Rose where it didn't look too bad. But you talk about issues with player movement. That can really hurt that game at times. There's definitely some skating issues and some momentum issues with the movement where you'll try to make a move and the move is so exaggerated that it just completely botches the feel and the play itself. And, you know, you'll try to stop and take a shot on a dime and you'll end up 5 feet in front of where you plan to stop. So there's definitely like some issues with that game. It's more fun when you play head to head, or just one player versus the computer. But, It's definitely not the best live game.
It's not. And, you know, I played that game early because I was invited to and flown into the studio in Tiburon there to play that one as part of the community event and give my feedback on it. And I actually feel that, I mean, sometimes it's the excitement of being at the event and you've got to put it all in perspective. But I did feel that some of the builds, played a couple of different builds, they were updating it as we were there for a few days. Some of the builds that we were playing at the event felt a bit better, a bit smoother, a bit looser, in a good way, than the final product. So whether they got some other people in after that who said, oh, we need to tighten this up, and or they just decided to tighten it up because it wasn't working out in their view, I actually felt that the pre-release version played a little bit better. I mean, it had issues of its own because it was still in beta, still in work in progress, but it's just one of those funny things sometimes at community events. I've noticed that sometimes that pre-release has played just a little bit better than the final product.
Yeah, well, remember how we felt about NBA Live 19, how the demo, right?
Of course.
The demo always played better than the official release of NBA Live 19. So it is weird how that can happen. It's almost like, you know, no, guys, you should have stuck with it. You know what I mean? You should have stuck with that direction. You should have stuck with how it felt before. Why did you make that change? You know, why does it not feel as good once the game is released? Or why did you patch this?
And before we move on from that, one thing I want to bring up, and I do have brought up before, when I've talked about going to community events, because there's always someone in the community that says, why didn't you point out this issue or that issue? Well, these issues, this issue or that issue, not always in the build I played. And of course, you don't have that limited time. You have a limited time, rather, to play the game. The very first event I went to, Live 07, we had about 45 minutes to an hour of hands-on time. So you're trying to look at everything and try and look through some of the modes and get as much information as you can to take back to the community and to give feedback on. And sometimes you can't miss things. And you might say, oh, why didn't you see this? This is very obvious the first time you play the game. Well, it wasn't in the build that I played. Or I didn't check the settings.
That's not a long period of time. That's also just not enough long period of time, to, like you stated, to really see all the issues.
Well, that's the thing. And people want to blame the people at the community event. And I understand it because you think, oh, they must have been lazy or they're shills or they've been paid off or whatever. But and even if you see an issue, like Live 16, I said to the developers at the time, hey, this doesn't have roster editing that you haven't had on this generation yet. This is going to be a problem. There are people in the community that have said, no roster editing, no buying. And they were like, oh, you know, they didn't realize it was too late. And they did eventually patch it into Live 18. But people, we bring up these issues, we can point them out, but they, you know.
Listen, if it's 2015 and you're about to release a game, which is when NBA Live 16 was released, and somebody brings up to roster editing as an important item that should be in your game, and you go, oh, I didn't think of that, or, oh, that's a good idea, and you hadn't thought of that before, I'm sorry, but I question you. I question that person and what they know in the industry. That's ridiculous.
True. I mean, it was more a case of they didn't realize how much people would place that much stock into whether it was a deal breaker for people. Like, if people would still enjoy the rest of the game. They should. I mean,
they should know that. They should have the pulse, like their finger on the pulse. That's a major red flag there. And I don't know who that was or that situation, but if you look at the design flaws and the things that they've been missing or taken out of the game over the, you know, last decade or so, it's not surprising that an interaction like that would happen. But it still blows my mind that a company with this much money and, so supposedly some of the best minds in basketball gaming, hey, I mean, they were releasing a game, AAA title, can not see that that could be a deal breaker for a lot of people,
That's true, but as far as the feedback, we were saying things like that, and we've always been like that. And I've been there at community events, talking to developers, and we're giving them the feedback. It's that's all we can do. We can stress it, and we can point it out, and be very adamant that these things need to happen. But it comes down to the suits, the developers, what they've got time to do, what's on their roadmap, etc. So. Yeah, don't blame the people that go to community events, because they do bring up these issues, and of course sometimes specific issues or bugs aren't in the build they play. So don't blame people from the community for bugs, especially Live07 as it was at the time. And yeah, so that is not a game that we'll be revisiting that often, just to put that out there.
I think head to head it would be better.
It's worth a try. Yeah, maybe not the 360 version. That was rough, except for the Channing Frye 3. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. I want to point something out too about Live 18 really quick, is that's one of the games that I actually felt improved after the demo. The demo I was not a fan of. I actually posted about it on the NLSC, and I was pretty critical of some of the issues with the Live 18 demo. But then when the official game came out, I enjoyed it quite a bit more. And then when I revisited it recently, and I played against the Live King and I played against Sticky Fingers, in two separate sessions, I actually had a really good time with that game, and I was honestly enjoying the feel of it even more than Live 19. So I will say that Live 18 is the opposite, where I felt like they definitely made some improvements when it came to after the release, that which is rare. And I think a lot of times what happens is the release is often botched, and then patches can even hurt it more.
Oh, there's plenty of examples of that, which we've gone through in so many shows before. 18 did feel very solid. Now, I think that's why 19 was such a disappointment to me. Obviously, the focus on the one, the heavy focus on the one, and us being shuffled out, a lot of the old guard being shuffled and shouldered out of the feedback groups because they wanted to listen to the people who would tell them what they wanted to hear about the one. But 18 was very solid. It felt like an improvement. You had the roster editing finally was patched in, of course. You had some pretty good live events, things like that. So 18 was solid, 19 disappointment, but still something they could have built on. As we've said before, we'll see what happens moving forward with that. I mean, it is so important to listen to the right user feedback, and we all think we've got the right idea. Obviously, it sounds egotistical to say, but clearly sometimes they do listen to the wrong feedback. 2K, that's been an issue where they're really catering to the online scene, catering to the cheesers, but. Not as of the latest patch, which has removed some of those that explosiveness, that cheesy explosiveness off the left to right dribble moves. The left right zigzag cheese has been modded out, or patched out rather, and nerfed. And a lot of people are happy, a very vocal contingent that aren't. I say tough cheese, quite frankly, to the cheesers, Derek, because look, everyone's talking about how what are you going to do? Play NBA Live? Well, exactly. People use that in a way that I usually don't like, but I'm going to use this, as an ironic echo here. I mean, people can't go and play an alternative. So 2K, they are in a position to not cater to the cheesers, because they can put out the game that they want, and the game that a lot of the traditional 2K gamers, the longtime Simhead 2K gamers want, and they can present the best possible experience and that welcoming experiences. They don't need to cater to the cheesers. They can say, well, hey, this is the game you've got. You've got to get good. There you go. Throw it right back in the cheeser's face. Get good. So I love that they've made this change. And they have done this before at times in patches, Derek. I want them to stick to this. I want them to stick to their guns and not give in to the cheesers again. Create the best possible experience, and they have to adjust. They have to get good. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And you saw a lot of members of the community upset that this change was made. We were sharing comments back and forth that we were seeing on Twitter from some accounts with high followers, some accounts with high follower accounts as well. And people saying, one of the comments was, if I wanted to play real basketball, I'd go outside. and I'd play some real hoop. You know, I don't play NBA 2K to play real basketball, and whatnot. But what the part that these people are missing that say these things is that this game is marketed as a simulation basketball game, right? And what they're doing in this basketball game is they're trying to create realistic, that supposedly realistic builds that you would see, you know, players playing in the NBA, you know, your DeMar DeRozan type or your Zach LaVine type. And I'm naming bulls to make you happy.
It works. It's working.
Or
They're doing well. I'm happy about that too.
Or, you know, your Luka Doncic type. So like they're building it out your players to, you know, play like NBA counterparts, or and play, you know, a quote unquote simulation style. So if you want to play an arcade game, a game that's, you know, full blown arcade, then, you know, play NBA Playgrounds or Playgrounds 2, or, you know, revisit NBA Jam. NBA Jam's always fun, et cetera. So I can't stand that whole thing. Well, you know, if I didn't want to, if I want to play real basketball, blah, blah, blah. There's still plenty of arcade elements in these simulation titles. Plenty of unrealistic elements, don't get me wrong, but I think that's just kind of a ridiculous thing to say. I will say that, in or if when you do cut out the cheese and you cut out things that can be exploited and whatnot, it does bring more of a skill element back into the game, where there's actually more of a true skill gap, and people with more skill on the sticks have a chance to actually show that skill and benefit from that skill gap, right? So yeah, I have no issues with them patching it out. It probably should have been patched out sooner or not included in the original game at all, which is kind of the elephant in the room here, right?
True.
Because they allowed it to go on for that long. But yeah, no, I think the game is getting a little bit old. I've said this before for both my brother and I. Just I can't stand all the gameplay issues and the legacy issues that are still in there, and just the gravity issues of being sucked into players sideways or them being sucked into you. You know, the lack of being able to spin realistically in the post, and they make you take these wide slow motion turns. The post game is just absolutely a shell of itself, terrible in comparison to say like 2K16 and whatnot. Same with the face up game. You feel like you're doing like the same move every single time in order to get by the computer in ISO situations. Like it's, oh, I'm going to do a quick crossover and go baseliner, or I'm going to go do a quick crossover and attack the middle of the paint. And I find that the skating just impacts the feel and look in just such a major way. And just the constant missed layups because of the forced gravity, you know, the forced contact under the hoop. The game is just getting old, and the issues are getting old. You know, another thing that I noticed about this game as I continue to ramble on, did you notice that the ball hardly ever bounces in
Yeah, no,
to either?
I've noticed that it's mostly, you know, you don't get a lot, you're going to get a lot of rim ins and whatnot. No.
Barely, sometimes not even like more than one a game. I feel like I've had games where not one bounce in happened, and that's really unrealistic and it's strange. Like I you know, you go back and you play games like NBA 2K14 or, you know, 15, 16, 17, some of the mid 2000s games, you know, like NBA Live 06, which we revisited recently, you'll actually see the ball, you know, bounce off the front of the rim and go in, or it will bounce off the front and then go off the backboard and whatnot, or it will take a high bounce off like the side of the rim and go in, or, you know, hit the rim a few times. And then that's a very realistic basketball element, right? But, you know, in NBA 2K22, you hardly ever see the rim interact with the ball that way. So it's very strange.
It's also it goes a long way in making the game feel organic because you do see that in real life. Not every shot is clean. I mean, and not just a matter of kind of catching the rim because a great shot may just slightly clip the rim if it doesn't swish. But as you say, bouncing around, bouncing a couple of times, and going in miraculous shots that is a sort of thing that happens in real life. Talking about realism and whatnot, and I think that is a bit of realism that everybody does want because it does make the game more exciting, more organic.
Right, exactly. And when you take that aspect out of the game, it just, let's put it this way. When I play NBA 2K22, because of things that are missing like that, and then the gameplay issues that I mentioned, I just feel like it's not great NBA action, or it's not great basketball action, right? I feel like I'm fighting against issues the majority of the game, or just trying to get around issues. Yeah, I'm so I mean that's really it. That's all I wanted to say about it. 2K22, I've said it before, we did get our money's worth. We're 81 games now into our My NBA, so we're about done the season. We have one game left. But there's certain things that prevent us from enjoying the game head to head. Like me and my brothers, we love playing head to head on basketball video games, and that's just a game that it's just not fun.
And that organic feel is just so important. Jacqueline, Culture Games, shout out to you, has brought up the issue of when they took away shot timing in NBA Live. And just to touch on that quickly and to make comparisons, Live 08 is when they took that away. 06 and 07 do have timing. 07 in particular is for 360, has very, very unforgiving timing, that if you don't get the precise timing, it's very easy to get that early or late release, which completely overrides the new signature animations. So, just another issue with 07 there. But yes, you didn't have that. And there was a reason for it. They brought in the hotspots. And the whole idea was that to get open in the spot that a player preferred to shoot from, that was best shooting from, and take the shot. And the timing wasn't a part of it. But you take away that control, you don't have that option of user timing or CPU timing as in previous games. It feels false, basically. Muscle memory, you may still hold the shoot button down and try and time it, but it doesn't matter because it's all based on the hotspots ratings and whatnot. So taking the control out of gamers' hands is not the way to go.
It also takes skill out of the game, too.
It does. And to relate that to 2K22, when you can just hit a couple of stick movements and trigger the ankle-breaking animations, or behind the screen just get open very easily by doing that, and not lose stamina, not have a shot penalty. It's again, there is no skill gap, and that is the irony, is that all the people that are crying skill gap are the one, well, not all of them, that's a blanket statement, but a lot of these people, these cheeses that are complaining about these changes and the nerfing of the techniques, the cheesy techniques that they were using, a lot of them are the ones that are really saying people need to get good, and they're talking about a skill gap, but the skill gap's not there because it just comes down to repeating these easily exploitable moves, getting a build with the right boosts and badges and whatnot. So we've talked about that before many times. The skill gap is not genuine because of all those issues and the canned moments, the canned animations, and these exploitable tactics. And look, realism, I understand that not everybody wants that uber realistic game. And even a lot of people that think they're very sim might find, if they look at their shot chart and whatnot, that they're not as sim as they thought. But it's a more casual approach to it, and that's fine. I've realized that. You know, I take liberties, more liberties than I thought that I used to. And again, as long as you're having fun on the virtual hardwood, that is the way to go. It doesn't need to be uber realistic. It's just resembling real life, which obviously it's going to do at the end of the day. But it's not even about realism. It's about having a cheesy, exploitable tactic that isn't about skill and is not fun. Or it's fun for you if you just want to exploit it. I don't think that's a great competitive game. So the realism argument is just trying to distract people from the fact that they want to have a cheesy, exploitable technique that they can just do over and over and over again. And people bring up the fantasy aspect of My Team, which is another aspect we've talked about before, because I saw that in that same tweet or that same thread, that people saying, oh, well, My Team is a fantasy mode. But if Shaq can hit threes, if you've got these overpowered cards where Shaq can hit threes and dribble like Steph Curry, there's no point collecting different players. So it goes against the concept of competition and differentiation and challenge. It's not necessarily about realism, because yes, My Team, you are bringing together players from across NBA history from different teams. That is the fantasy aspect. But you've still got to have something resembling real basketball, because as you said, it is a sim game, and have mechanics that are challenging and competitive. That is the issue. It is not about being super realistic in every single way.
Right. Somebody said in that comment section, he goes, stop talking about simulation. I just saw somebody like cross over and hit a three with Dikembe Mutombo. Like that was his comment. That doesn't make it right.
That's
Like just
the
because,
point. That's the whole point.
right. Just right. Exactly. That's just because that, they constructed my team this way. And, you can dribble like Steph Curry with Shaquille O'Neal and pull up from three with certain versions of him and whatnot. That doesn't make it right. That doesn't mean that the mode is constructed properly. And it doesn't mean that that portion of that mode can't be, be critiqued. So I also wanted to bring up something else about the user timing thing about it being removed in Live 08. In Live 18, they correctly labeled the shooting timing thing. They said rating, these are your two options, rating or rating plus skill. And do you know what the skill part is? The timing part, right?
Exactly.
So I want to emphasize why I use, again, why I use user timing and why I don't use real player percentage, because real player percentage, when you're just going by the rating, and timing doesn't matter, that takes an entire aspect of skill out of the game. It means that you can shoot your shot on the way down, on the way up, you can flick it, you can hang in the air on layups if the release timing is not part of layups anymore, all of that stuff, and just release the ball whenever you want, and it has the same chance of going in. But with user timing, you have to release it at the optimal point in order to have more success, a better chance of hitting the shot. So I really appreciated that, because I think I was playing against, I want to say, Sticky Fingers or the Live King. And I went in to check to see what the setting was, and it correctly was rating plus skill. So anytime I see something, a game where shot timing isn't part of it, or somebody says something negative towards the whole user timing aspect, I just kind of like shrug my shoulders and be like, that's a big part of the game. That's a big part of the skill
Bit of
that
an eye rolling moment, yes.
yeah, it's an eye rolling moment, exactly.
There is an exception, which is when we've been playing over Parsec. In that 16 Live 16 game we played, we did switch it to that to rating, I believe, so that it was a bit easier for me with my timing
I
and the
did that
lag.
too. Yeah, I mean, if there's a situation where lag makes it so it's really hard to time shots, then I'm perfectly fine with that. Like I played with Still Do, and we were playing NBA 2K19, and that particular night he was having just a little bit of lag, and we switched it to real player percentage in order for him to not, for us to be basically on like a level playing field in that regard. So I understand that, but if both people have the same amount of input lag and there isn't a lot of it and you can actually time your shots, taking user timing out of the equation takes skill out of the game. And so that's why we always use user timing when we can.
100%. I'm the same. I've always preferred that. I like to win or lose, make or miss on my own merits, except in those situations where it does, as you said, even the playing field. When we played 2K16, and you gave me a little bit of a taste of something that you've been working on in the background here and there, which is very cool. Were we playing on real field goal percentage, or were we timing that?
That was user timing, and you did well.
Okay.
Actually, you made a few outside shots actually in that. And yeah, Andrew and I did connect on NBA 2K16, and we were playing my work in progress Ultimate Classic Teams roster. And I was kind of inspired by our last episode of the podcast, and Jacqueline made a comment saying that, I want you to use that motivation and try to finish your 2K16 roster, because she said she would use it. We connected, and I thought we had a really fun quarter.
We did.
I thought that was really enjoyable. And it worked pretty well for you. I was using the 0102 Kings and you were using the 1011 Bulls, and there were some pretty cool plays that actually happened.
Well, that was the game without the net, wasn't it? Because then we also played another quarter with the Suns. I was the Suns, the 93 Suns.
Yeah, that was the one without the net. There was like a glitch, and then I restarted the game and it was the 93 Suns, and I think I used the Kings again, didn't I? I want to say.
I forget who it was. I thought you picked somebody else. Was it the Nuggets the second time around? The 2007 Nuggets.
It might have been, I'm not sure. But it was really fun regardless, and we're gonna have to hook up and play that one again. But yeah, you shot pretty well there for it being on user timing.
That was surprising. I'm keen to give that another go and maybe help you even test that roster, obviously. That's, again, the benefits of Parsec.
Or I could have you connect to the computer and I could go to bed and you could finish some teams for me.
I mean, that's a possibility, I suppose.
No, I'm not going to drag you into that. That's the first time I've actually brought that up to Andrew, by the way. I just figured I'd throw that on to you on the podcast.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. I'm not saying I would. but we also need to get back into our road trip on Fire Edition. Some great on Fire Edition highlights, actually. Was it on Fire Edition? Or no, it was on Fire Edition in the top 10 this week as well. I actually finished it by the road trip, finally, myself, on my 360 version. Beat all the Jambots. It's getting a little bit easier once you really get used to it and know that they're going to do all the cheesy stuff and you're just trying to change it up a little bit. And I was surprised to find that after you beat all the Jambots, you have to beat the Beastie Boys in New York. And of course, there's no sleep until you do that, as I said on Twitter. So I did that and finally finished Road Trip after all these years properly, beating all the Jambots and everything. So I'm keen to do that with you because it's even more fun doing it co-op because you can, and we do need to do it mic'd up, as we've said before, because it's just so much fun, and you can banter and you can joke and you can celebrate with each other when you're making these great plays. But that is such a great game, so we're gonna have to get onto that. And I know it can be done. I know these Jambots can be done, but after that, the Beastie Boys await.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little sad that you went and did that solo, but we don't get to connect that often. So I understand why we haven't made much progress lately. And the last few times that we've been connecting on Parsec, we wanted to try some different games. And we've also been trying with you hosting as well. So we're still in the experimenting stages at times with Parsec, trying different games, seeing how the input lag is and whatnot, and seeing what we can play. So, but yeah, no, we'll get back on the road trip soon. Definitely some great highlights. VF Baller had an NBA Jam on Fire Edition highlight in the top 10 this week. It was a Spud Webb tip dunk, which I thought was really great to kick off the top 10, a great starting highlight, and it just flowed really well. But it was just, we had three different game winners in the top 10 this week. We had Damian Lillard game winner, which took the number one spot on NBA 2K22, submitted by the Live King. We had the King J Mace game winner using his ESL roster as well, with Earl Monroe with the three from the corner. And then we had my brother Mark, actually RF 4417, with the NBA 2K17 game winner with Steve Nash against me, actually. So I was using the Warriors in that game. And just good variety. We had the double dribble highlights in there. We had your NBA Live 97 dunk with Larry Johnson versus me and whatnot. And I tagged Parsec actually in those tweets when I announced the top 10, because several of the highlights come from Parsec sessions. So that's also a cool thing.
Again, just goes to show how popular it's becoming in the community. So I think you've said it before, but it's going to be it's been a big year for us in 2021, connecting on that and seeing what we can do. 2022 can be even bigger in that regard. The Live 10 tournament has obviously got some interest in our community and on YouTube as well. And we thank everybody for checking that out. The finals are coming. You versus Cavs 4872, of course, in that showdown. Melo versus LeBron. So that's only fitting. For that time period. We've had some inquiries about whether we're going to do some other tournaments as well. And yes, the Live 10 tournament is basically a test run for what we can do. The suggestion was thrown out to us on YouTube, Jam or Street, Home Court or Hang Time, any of those arcade games. Yes, absolutely. That's something we're going to explore moving forward, because it's clear that people are keen to do it, and it's definitely possible and very playable over Parsec. So this is a test run, and it's I think a great test run. It's run better than we could have imagined, except for the emulator not really liking Parsec when I'm hosting. But apart from that, yeah, we'll be running some more tournaments with other games for sure.
Yeah, I think the next one should be an arcade game, and I think that would be really fun. It would also be easier to complete the tournament a little bit faster,
Yes.
because the game will go faster. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that NBA Live 10 Finals matchup, Nuggets versus Cavs. I'll have home court advantage actually in the first two games because I have a worse record, and that's the way we're running the tournament. So his team is a little bit higher rated. But I'm going to have to deal with the big front line of Zydrunas Ilgauskas and Shaquille O'Neal. And then he has LeBron usually at the three. And I'll have to deal with the amazing, unstoppable video game legend Delonte West. And he did that Cavs team is just very good. So we'll see what happens. It's a seven-game series, and hopefully I can come out on top. But I think NBA Jam would be really good on Fire Edition to do a tournament on. And it would work great for you, no matter who you connected with, really. Just for the fact that, we connected on NBA Jam 2010 with three other people. So there was four people connected and it worked great for you, right? So I believe that you wouldn't have a problem participating in that tournament. I think NBA Street Volume 2 is such a favorite that we'd be able to easily get enough participants to do that tournament.
Oh,
And those
definitely,
games would
definitely.
really fun. Yeah, and it would produce a lot of great highlights. So I think that's what we should look at as far as the next tournament. I think either NBA Jam on Fire Edition, NBA Jam 2010, or NBA Street Volume 2.
And around March next year, we've talked about doing something with a college game, March Madness or a College Slam, something like that. So, plenty of ideas. So, absolutely, we'll be exploring those moving forward. But that does bring us to the end of this week's episode of the NLC Podcast, episode number 404. We thank you for tuning in. Bit of a shorter show this week as we're a bit short on time. We didn't get to a mailbag this week, but we will be doing the mailbag moving forward. Love that interaction with everybody, as we've said so many times before. Please keep it coming. Podcast@nba-live.com is where you can email those questions. Hit us up, send us a DM on Instagram, PMs in the forum, post in the forum thread, post them, as address them to our Twitter, or post them on Facebook. However you can get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. The podcast itself comes out every Sunday on the NLSC, which is nba-live.com, of course. We're also on all the major streaming apps: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, just to name a few. On those platforms, search for NLC Podcast, look for our logo, and that will be us. And of course, it also comes out on our YouTube channel. As long as you're tuning in each and every week and enjoying the show, that is the main thing. And once again, we love hearing from you. We love connecting with you. So, Derek, what are your socials, and any other final words you have for our listeners this week?
No, thank you for tuning in to this shorter show of the NLSC podcast. We definitely want to try to get a show out for you every single week, and we don't miss many weeks, especially over the last couple of years and whatnot. You can find me where I'm most active on Twitter at D4384. I'm also on Twitter with the name at D4G, which is a D4 gaming channel. I'm on YouTube, D4, and on the NLSC as a team member, D4.
I am Andrew in the forum and Andrew NLSC on Twitter. The NLSC is on Facebook and Twitter at the NLSC. Our Instagram is NLSC Basketball. Our aforementioned YouTube channel is youtube.com/NBLiveSeriesCenter. And of course, give a lock to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that's all for this week, so thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Derek.
Go get buckets, everyone.